Let's talk about suicide now. This is not a topic that many people feel comfortable discussing, but it's an important one. Please go slowly with this one. Feel free to pause it and do whatever you need to do to feel okay as we go along. Around 800,000 people die worldwide as a result of suicide, around one person every 40 seconds. It's estimated that 10 to 20 times more people attempt suicide. Sobering statistics, hey? Deaths as a result of suicide occur in adolescents and adults of all ages. And while women are more likely than men to have suicidal thoughts, men are 75% more likely to die as a result of suicide than women. A 2011 study in the US estimated that in the previous year, 8.3 million people, which is 3.7% of the adult population, reported having suicidal thoughts. That 2.2 million people, which is 1% of the adult population, reported making suicide plans. And 1 million people, which is 0.5% of the adult population, reported making a suicide attempt. Only a small proportion of people who think about, make plans, or attempt suicide actually die as a result of suicide, but the result is often devastating for the people who know and love them. Many people who consider suicide do not actually want to die. They simply do not want to live with the pain that they're feeling, and talking openly about suicide can help to save their lives. This is really important to know. According to the interpersonal theory of suicide, the desire for suicide arises as a result of the presence of three elements, including number one, thwarted belongingness, so feeling lonely, socially disconnected from others, feeling like they don't have anyone to turn to. Number two, perceived burdensomeness, so feeling like a burden to others, that their death is worth more to others than their life, and self-hate. And number three, acquired capability, so an ability to take their own life. According to this model, increasing social connection and belongingness is an important part of suicide prevention. And so this is something that we can cultivate in our yoga classes, whether we're aware of any suicidal thoughts, intents, or attempts of our students or not. So, from a yogic perspective of suicide ideation, if thoughts and emotions are messengers, then it follows that thoughts like I want to die or I should kill myself and all the emotions that come along with that also come as messengers. They come to bring us important information. Now, from talking to hundreds of people experiencing suicidal thoughts, it's really become apparent to me that these thoughts often arise not because people want to die per se, but because life feels too challenging and they see no other option. Nobody has ever told me that death is their first choice. Rather, they feel like they've tried everything to feel okay and stay alive, but life still feels too hard to bear despite this, and death feels like the only option. Sometimes people tell me that they've been thinking of taking their lives, and other times they report that the thoughts arise unbidden and they're worried about what that means. Now, in counseling, after I've listened to my clients in their deepest, darkest times, and they cry and they share how hard life is and how they've been thinking about taking their life, I sometimes share my yogic perspective of suicide ideation, that thoughts of suicide can arise to let us know that life feels too hard and we need more support or need to learn how to cope with what's happening in our life. And then they often nod or exclaim in recognition that this is what's going on for them too. Now, understanding this doesn't make the thoughts or the pain go away. And I always share my hypothesis in a way that is about understanding and not about minimizing. But it does often help to put suicidal thoughts into perspective and to see a way out. So, someone who is thinking about suicide will usually give some indication They might tell you outright, or it might be more subtle. So here are some warning signs that someone might be feeling suicidal. Now, these were all from Beyond Blue, which is a wonderful mental health website in Australia. It has lots of great information. You can find them online at www.beyondblue.org.au. So signs that someone might be feeling suicidal is that they talk about suicide. So they might say something like, sometimes I feel like I just want to die. They might feel like they're a burden to others. So they might say, you'd be better off without me, or something like that. They might be frequently talking about death and might say something like, if I died, would you miss me? A sense of hopelessness or having no hope for the future. Isolation or feeling alone. So they might say something like, no one understands me, or I'm so alone. A negative view of themselves. So they might communicate this by saying something like, I'm worthless, or something like that. Aggressiveness or irritability. Possessing lethal means of taking their own life, so some medication or weapons, self-harming behavior like cutting, risk-taking behavior. So they might say something like, I'll try anything, I'm not afraid to die. Substance abuse, making funeral arrangements, giving away their belongings or saying, when I'm gone, I want you to have this. So if you believe someone might be having suicidal thoughts, even if you're not sure, the Mental Health First Aid Australia guidelines for supporting them include approaching the person promptly, letting them know your concerns and describing their behaviors that have led to your concerns. Ask the person directly if they're thinking about suicide. So you could ask, are you having thoughts of suicide? Or are you thinking about killing yourself? Know that speaking directly about suicide will not give the person the idea to take their life, nor will it increase the risk of suicide if they've already been thinking about it. Asking a person directly about suicide will show them that somebody cares and will give them the chance to talk about their problems and access support. If someone discloses suicidal thoughts, do your best to remain calm, confident, and empathetic, as this can be really reassuring for the person. It's really not unusual to feel panic or shock when someone discloses suicidal thoughts. However, it's really important that you stay calm and avoid expressing negative reactions. Know that it is more important to be genuinely caring than it is to say the right things. So listen to them with undivided attention. Ask them what they're thinking and feeling. Reassure them that you want to listen to what they have to say. Allow them to talk about their reasons for dying and allow them to express their feelings in any way, like crying or screaming or whatever it is. Remember to thank them for sharing their feelings with you and acknowledge the courage that it takes to do so. Okay, always take suicidal thoughts seriously and take action. Don't dismiss them as a cry for help or attention seeking. People are at the highest risk of acting on suicidal thoughts when they have a specific plan, the means to carry it out, a time set for doing it, and the intention to go through with taking their life. However, the fact that they don't have a plan for suicide does not mean that they're safe. So questions that can help you to assess their current safety include asking if they have a plan for suicide, how they intend to take their life. So ask some direct questions about how and where they intend to suicide, whether they have decided when they will carry out their plan, whether they have already taken steps towards carrying out their plan, whether they've been using any drugs or alcohol, as intoxication can increase the risk of someone acting on their suicidal thoughts, whether they've ever attempted or planned suicide in the past. And if they say that they're hearing voices, ask them what the voices are telling them. So if someone is suicidal, assess the support they have available to them. So you might ask whether they've told anybody else about how they're feeling, whether there have been any changes in their employment, social or family life, and whether they're receiving any mental health treatment or taking any medication. If you believe a person to be at risk of suicide, even if you're not sure, it's important that you take action to keep the person safe. So you can do this by never leaving a suicidal person alone, acting collaboratively with the person to ensure their safety, reminding the person that suicidal thoughts don't need to be acted on, and that there are alternative solutions to their problems and ways of coping that don't involve suicide. Asking them if there's someone who's supported them in the past and if they're still available. Collaboratively developing a safety plan or agreement for the person to help to keep them safe. So a safety plan should include clearly outlining what will be done, who will be doing it, and when it will be carried out. Focus on what the person could do rather than what they shouldn't be doing. Create the plan for a length of time that feels easy for the person to cope with, so they feel like they can fulfill the agreement and get a sense of accomplishment. Include contact numbers that the person agrees to call if they're feeling suicidal, which might include friends and family who are able to help, their GP or therapist, a 24-hour crisis line, or suicide helpline. So this process needs to be collaborative, not you telling them what they should do. So instead of saying, call your mother right away, you could instead ask, who could you call or where could you go right now for support? Encourage the person to get professional support as soon as possible and provide them with appropriate local services that can assist people at suicide risk, including hospitals, mental health clinics, suicide prevention helplines, and local emergency services. If they refuse professional help, call a mental health service or a crisis line and ask for advice on the situation. This is really important. You're not a therapist. You're not expected to be a suicide crisis service. You are a skilled helper and a human being who's reaching out to support another human being in crisis. You're not expected to have the answers, and you're not responsible for someone else's life or their decisions. So do what you can to help, and then seek support and advice from the professionals and support for yourself. And never promise to keep a plan for suicide or the risk of suicide a secret. So you might say, I care too much about you to keep a secret like this. You need help, and I'm here to help you get it. Treat the person respectfully and involve them in the decision of who to contact. If they do not give you permission to disclose the risk of suicide, then you must break their confidentiality and do your best to ensure their safety. If you do need to do this, be honest and let them know who you'll be contacting. So here's a few pointers about what not to do if you believe someone has thoughts of suicide. Don't argue or debate with the person about their suicidal thoughts. Don't discuss with the person whether suicide is right or wrong. Don't use guilt or threats. So don't tell a person they'll go to hell or that they'll ruin other people's lives if they suicide. Don't minimize their problems. Don't give insincere reassurances like, don't worry, cheer up, you've got everything to live for, or everything will be okay. Don't interrupt with your own stories, so don't make it about you. Don't communicate a negative attitude or lack of interest with your body language. Don't call their bluff, dare, or tell them to just do it. Don't attempt to give them a diagnosis of a mental illness. Don't avoid using words like suicide. And don't use stigmatizing terms like committing suicide, which implies it's a sin, like committing murder, or referring to a previous attempt as failed attempts, which implies that death would have been a favorable outcome. So please use all the listening skills that you've already learned in this training. And if in doubt, always ask for support. You can contact a mental health or suicide line and ask professionals for advice. You don't have to do this alone. Looking after yourself. This is so important. It's really important to know that while you can offer support, like I said before, you are not responsible for the behaviors of another person, and you may not be able to prevent someone from taking their own life. Always seek support for yourself. Hearing about suicidal thoughts, plans, and attempts can be really distressing. Don't underestimate how difficult this can be. Talk to your therapist, your mentor, or colleagues, or a mental health or crisis line to debrief and to talk about your experiences with supporting a person with suicide ideation. Stay within your scope of practice and take care of yourself. So that's it for the section on suicide ideation. If you'd like more information, I highly recommend checking out the Beyond Blue and the Mental Health First Aid Australia websites. They both have lots of wonderful information. And please take care of yourself. There was a lot of really intense information in this lecture. So do use the tools and resources you have to self-regulate and feel okay. And reach out to a friend, a family member, mentor, or a therapist for support if you need to talk any of this through. If we're going to be of support to our students, we need to get really good at reaching out for support when we need it to. We're all in this together, and we all need support at times. Thanks for joining me for this very important topic.